Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You're listening to Spits and Suds. He's Sean Shapiro. I'm Gavin Spittle on 105.3 The Fan. Two instances happened last night, and I haven't really asked you about this. So early in the game, Roope Hintz caught a stick, cut him open, no call. Radek Foxa. Did I say Roope Hintz? Radek Foxa caught a stick and went to the bench. And a very vocal Radek Foxa when he was on the bench, followed by a very vocal Pete DeBoer. And the replay clearly showed that it was a stick that came up. Later in the game, Jamie Benn draws a high stick, but puck was made contact. So my question is do you feel as though high sticking along with delay of game, which we've seen, should join offsides as far as reviewable plays?
I personally think, and I've talked about my view of replay before. I think replay is good, but I think it needs to be a little bit more nuanced. I think there needs to be a time limit on if you can't make the decision, if the league office can't make a definitive decision within a minute or whatever of viewing the video, then it should just go as is. That's kind of always been my view on it. I don't mind adding high sticking to this. I don't mind. I mean, high sticking, one of the weird things about high sticking is you can review something to turn a minor into a major. You can't really review something that turns nothing into a minor. And I think that's where we start to get into this tricky territory, because what's the line on throwing challenges on judgment calls? Because I kind of get a little bit worried about what it opens up. I really like your idea in theory, but we have to storyboard and we have to figure out where the line is, because I don't want this to open up the space where someone's like, well, there was a trip or a cross check on this play. I don't want to get into a spot where people start throwing challenge flags on a goal in a close game because they're like, okay, well, we might as well. So I like your idea in theory. I just think there needs to be, the rules have to be written in a certain way where maybe that's a job we give to the concussion spotter, honestly, Gavin. I don't know. Like, we have the concussion spotter whose job is to protect player health and watch their heads. Maybe that's the job we give to the concussion spotter. Maybe that's a job where it becomes, okay, hey, there's a high stick. But it's got to come from the outside. Like, right. Like someone who's not, I think that's just, I like the idea in theory. I like the idea of getting it right. I just want to make sure we don't go too far down the path of people throwing challenge flags. And because this is something where you bring this idea and it's great to talk about from a player safety perspective, but like anything, eventually it gets morphed into a schematic strategy thing. And I don't want it to become that.
Or do you give the linesman more power?
I mean, I think that's fair. That's one way to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's possible. I think there's a couple ways to look at it, but I think you have this. I think this is an idea that's worth exploring more than some other ideas that people bring up sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because I mean, I've always wanted to ask you. I mean, your knowledge is so vast as far as I'm just asking the questions. I haven't looked into this. Has the NHL ever thought about expanding linesman duties? I mean, we see it in the NFL with, you know, how many referees are there. I just find it interesting that the linesmen are limited in their calls.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
That's a good question. And I should just, I'll probably have to ask about that.
Okay.
Just to be honest, that's something.
Yeah. Just popped in the top of my head. So, yeah. All right. So, you know, lose one in San Jose, tough loss, up by three. I told Craig yesterday, one of the reasons that I didn't panic after that game, Sean, is because I think the statistics tell us after three meetings that San Jose is just a bad matchup for the Stars. And that happens in hockey. You look at, now, I remember we talked about this game. The Stars came off a successful road trip. San Jose was next, and they got beat on home ice. Then they play the New Year's game, and it was a one-goal game until late in the third period. And I thought San Jose played really well in that game, and then the Stars just exploded. And then we see what happened in San Jose. The good news is San Jose is no longer on the schedule. But am I fair in that assessment that sometimes it's just a bad matchup, and this year could be the case with San Jose? And by the way, my love of Erik Karlsson has gone up. I mean, you're right about the Miro trade. It wouldn't have been a good trade, but man, when he's healthy, he's just a fun guy to watch.
Yeah. I don't know as much as bad matchup, or it's just kind of a funny small sample size of how it happened, honestly. I just think it's something where I wouldn't read too much into it. It's the game blowing the lead the other night and everything. That to me isn't exactly the same as the other game. And to me, that's not dependent on who the opponent was. So I think San Jose was a good, if San Jose was a good team and a team that you actually may have to see again later this season, maybe we break it down a little bit more, but just because the nature of where they are in the standings and everything like that, I would kind of just say, okay, let's flush to move on. So
okay.
with the Sharks, just because like that's kind of honestly how I look at it, because that team is going to be completely different next year. It's in the middle of effectively a rebuild and all of that stuff. And it's kind of hard to put too much into worrying about the Sharks right now. And I take so much more out of what the Stars did in the second game of a back-to-back against a good Kings team. That to me tells me more about the Stars team than blowing a lead in San Jose does.
Okay. And next up, the Arizona Coyotes, who have been playing better since their slow start to start the year. The last few games, lost to the Jets by a goal, beat the Red Wings at home, and then last night got shut out by the Caps in Arizona. So they come to Dallas tomorrow night. What pieces do you see on this Arizona team that you could see moving at the deadline? Chikrin's going to be the talk.
Yeah,
usually.
That's always going to be the first one's always going to be there. I'm pulling up, as we're doing this, for full disclosure, people, I'm pulling up the Coyotes cap friendly page. So I have the full reference in front of me. I mean, because if I'm the Coyotes, it's a spot where I start looking at, like, you look at the picks that they've built up. They're just going to continue shopping for that. The Coyotes already have for next year. Well, this year they only have seven picks, but they have an additional third rounder. 2024 draft, the Coyotes have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They have 8 picks in the first 3 rounds in 2024 already. And in 2025, the Coyotes already have 6 picks in the first 3 rounds. So the Coyotes are clearly building up to just kind of throw every single pick at the wall over the next couple of years and see what fits as they continue to move forward. So looking at that, kind of seeing their plan, this feels like a little bit of a, unless the Coyotes win the draft lottery, like, I think there's one thing that changes for the Coyotes, and it won't impact this in season moves, but if the Coyotes win the draft lottery and they win the chance to draft Connor Bedard, I think it changes everything. I think whoever wins the number one pick and gets to draft Bedard will change their tune no matter what. But this season, in season, you look at a player, like, it's hard to see anything that's not nailed down won't be on the table. Nick Ritchie to me is a guy who's a UFA making $2.5 million. He's 27. He's the type of guy who I could see getting moved in season for another pick because a team will say, hey, we'd like to add a depth winger who's had some pop before. You look at Nick Bjugstad, even, like, very low cap hit. He's 30 years old. Teams want to add that veteran guy who in a cap tight league, and he's making less than $1 million. He's a UFA. Flip him for a fifth round pick. You look at the ones that just, I don't see them finding the right deal for those bigger names, the Clayton Kellers, the Nick Schmaltz, the Lawson Cruises, but even those guys are at a spot where, unless the Coyotes win the draft lottery, they're already at a spot where they're kind of in a spot where they might not be around for the time this team hits the turn. So I think all of these kind of pieces for the Coyotes are on the table. Chychrun is going to be the big one who I think is probably the biggest name that gets moved. But I would love someone, maybe I should do it too. We should take a screen grab of the Coyotes roster on like February 1st and then see what it looks like on March 1st. Cause yeah. I would imagine we should also take a screen grab of the Tucson Roadrunners roster on February 1st and March 1st and see and play that game. It's like that office meme. We need corporate needs you to find the difference between these two pictures. Like,
you're absolutely right. That's funny. All right. Two quickies before I let you go. Montreal, Mr. Hughes, the general manager of the Montreal Canadiens, Habitants, came out and said that Cole Caulfield will be a part of their future. I would think so. So looking at the contracts, because Cole Caulfield is a restricted free agent after this year, his entry-level deal is up. Nick Suzuki just makes under $8 million a year for them at 7.8. This is one of the emerging superstars in our league in Caulfield. Could we see a restricted free agent? Two-part question, Sean. Could we see a restricted free agent go around 9 or 10 million, or are we going to settle at the 8 to 8.5 with him? And then the other question is will we see something that never happens, a team make a run at a restricted free agent? Because I just think that would make the league so much better if that happened. I love silly seasons like that.
Well, it is the Montreal Canadiens, and the Canadians and the Carolina Hurricanes have been their tit for tat offer sheet stuff in the past. So if there was an offer sheet involved with the Montreal Canadiens and it came, I don't think Carolina has the cap space to actually do this one this time, but you know, knowing Tom Dundon and knowing how he feels about things, it wouldn't surprise me if there's part of him that wants to throw an offer sheet at Cole Caulfield already. I think you look at Montreal and you look at the long-term build and you look at the plan you have, and they're using a ton of long-term IR right now too. They got almost $20 million in LTIR right now between Sean Monahan and Paul Byron and Carey Price. And at least, and so at least you have Byron and Monahan come off the books after this year. So you get a lot of space that opens up. I look at kind of paying players now and primes and everything like that. If you can get Caulfield on a Jason Robertson type deal, like I wonder if Caulfield looks at kind of the Robertson deal and sees if that's kind of his model, the 4 years, I'm kind of betting on myself and I'm still getting that big RFA qualifying offer at the end or something longer. I would bet from the player perspective, the Robertson deal plus maybe the Robertson deal may actually end up being the best comp of approach. I'm not saying they should make the same amount of money, but I think the best comp of approach for Caulfield might be the best case scenario to go with that, get a pretty good chunk of change for the next 4 years, and then have an RFA deal you're built in at the end where the team's got to pay you X amount and you have to, and then you can capitalize on the cap having gone up. So I think we're going to see a good amount of money go to Cole Caulfield's way. I think the question is just going to be, does he want to kind of play the financial money game to get more 2 to 3 years from now, or does he want to book it long-term with Montreal now? And that's going to be the interesting thing. I don't think we see the offer sheet play out in this situation just because of how cap strapped a lot of teams are. I do hope, speaking of offer sheets, I hope the year the cap goes up, we go crazy with offer sheets. Like, it would just be so fun if, like, it's like, okay, everyone's cap space opened up and now all of a sudden RFA season just goes crazy. That would be fun, but I don't think this summer's the summer for that.